Thanks for downloading this episode of the Simcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching for the Simcast wherever they get their podcasts. The Simcast on RS1.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Simcast, your local source for occasional sim racing news, off-topic discussion, and general tomfoolery. It's US Week, and we are back together again. I am, of course, Mr. Ben Williams, and joining me back from his one brief break is Mr. Louis Satterley. How are you doing, Louis?
Oh, we're doing better, and you sound like you are inside of a fish tank tonight, sir, which adds a whole new level of excitement. I'm getting very Ace Ventura vibes here.
I'm not on my fancy podcast, Mike. I am visiting family up in the Pocono region, so I'm not in my usual setup either.
Ah, that would explain that. Well, happy vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Glad you took some time out for that so you can come and do a little bit of work.
Apparently, I'm supposed to get snowed in tomorrow.
Ah.
Because it's the Poconos. It snows here.
Yeah. I forgot you guys are still having some inclement weather. Yesterday, we had a nice, very warm day for National Margarita Day.
Oh, be quiet.
Or the other day, I should say.
Be quiet, also, Florida man. Florida man.
You've got to be a Florida man.
Oh, dear goodness. Did you have tacos on Tuesday, speaking of?
I did, actually. Okay. So, funny enough, me and the girlfriend Lisa, we went out to the local Mexican restaurant that is literally, depending if you can catch the green light or not, it is 2 or 3 minutes away. So,
makes sense.
Yeah. So I had the Taco Tuesday special, which was endless tacos for $10. Could only get through about 6 of them.
You're slacking.
Well, it's because I had a big lunch too, so I think that was the big problem there on that one. Otherwise, it probably would have been closer to like 12. And then got her a big old giant mango margarita, so she thoroughly enjoyed that. So Taco Tuesday fell on National Margarita Day, so that ended up being a pretty good thing.
It was Tuesday because it was 2/22/22.
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm.
So and I know I'm probably making Hindoff very, very jealous with the tequila that was consumed. So
ours did not include our tacos did not include margaritas or tequila.
Funny enough, the first time I ever met John actually was at Road Atlanta. Me and I don't know if he's still a member over at Toro or not, but Travis, he went by General Sal for the gamer tag.
He's not actively racing a Toro right now, but how do I put this? He's on another site that I frequent whenever I want to race, but not be in charge.
Gotcha. Yeah, so he was a very active member at the time, but me and him met up at Road Atlanta. We had 3/4 of a tequila bottle, and we're just like, well, they're nice enough to invite us up into the booth to come visit them, so why don't we bring a peace offering? As soon as I hand the bottle to John, John peace looks offering, up. Huh? Yeah, John holds the bottle and he looks right over at Jeremy Shaw and he goes, qualifying is about to get very interesting. They didn't touch it. They did save it to when they got home. But still, that was my first interaction with Hindoff. So it was a good one.
My first interaction with Hindoff was in the lobby of the hotel that we were staying at for the Forza event
that
we were both invited to. Yeah.
Very nice.
It's hard to believe that was almost 4 years ago now.
Yeah, I was going to say, whenever that one happened, I was still during the America Le Mans Series day, so that was, I want to say, probably close to 08 or 09, so actually over 10 years ago when that happened. So
I was doing, well, okay, if it was 09, I just graduated high school.
It was somewhere
around 31 now. So what does that tell you?
We're getting old, Ben. We're getting old.
We are getting old.
Thanks for reminding me.
Yes, and I'm sure the audience is getting old, waiting for us to actually talk about sim racing news.
They might be.
Yeah. They do occasionally talk about sim racing news in this show.
This is not one of those times.
This is not one of those times.
Well, you got to keep them anticipating, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Anticipation is key.
Yes, hook them in for the first 5 minutes, talk about nonsense, and then just keep hitting them with fresh content. Anyway, this is, of course, episode 8 of our second series here on
Fresh Content.
Huh?
I said, speaking of fresh content.
Yes. You can follow us on Twitter at Simcast Radio. Talk to us using the hashtag SimcastRSL. And of course, all four of us here on the show, myself, Lewis, Matt, and Jordan, are all members of the Collective.
Yes.
Did you know, side note, did you know that the Collective has a Discord page now?
I saw grumblings of it being started up just before Daytona,
mm-hmm.
which I believe is what it was. And I think the only reason why they hadn't done it before is because Eve felt that it was going to be one more thing to stress her out over and try to monitor, which I think somebody else took that over for her. That way she didn't have to worry about it, and it was a trial run. And I think it was a pretty good success.
Yeah, I did join it. There is a user that is the responsible adult, so I would assume that's Eve. But
okay.
I'm not certain.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to go over there and check that out, because I was at Daytona, and
mm-hmm.
me personally, I like to take in the sights. I don't really... Anybody who knows me, I don't really take a lot of photos or anything like that whenever I do go to racing events. I'm very old school that way.
Yeah. Well, you did do a FaceTime, or attempted to do a FaceTime with all three of us. You show us the paddock.
So yeah, it's just one of those events that I was able to attend every year, and I have the privilege to be able to do that. And I wanted mm-hmm. to include you guys in some way, shape, or form, because I know it's an event you guys absolutely want to attend
yes.
at some point. So
yes, I am still quite jealous.
Yeah, well, I mean, I got to include you guys in some part of it. And actually, it was an extra special one for me because a good friend of the show, he's been on a couple times, actually won the Michelin Pilot Challenge race overall in the Porsche on Friday, Eric Fogaris.
Yeah, I guess we haven't been... Well, we could have talked about that. I don't remember why we haven't talked about that yet.
I believe I was away the following time.
You might have been, yeah.
So, but yeah,
I've been on the show for 2 weeks, or actually 3 weeks straight. So I'm
This is your third week.
Yeah.
See, next week you're gonna start having withdrawals and thinking that you gotta be somewhere.
Probably. Anyway, should we get started with what we're going to talk about this evening?
I reckon we could.
Yes. So, starting off pretty easy. We've been talking about this the last couple of weeks. Grid Legend releases this coming Friday, February 25th. So if you're listening to the show live, that's tomorrow. If you're listening to it on repeat, then February 25th, as I said. We do now have the full car and track list for Grid Legends. Just to kind of give you...
I'm not impressed.
I'm not either. We're looking at 118 cars at launch and 137 circuits, and that includes all the individual little different layouts spread across 22 locations around the world. Additionally, there will be 4 cars available for those who pre-ordered the game in the special Seneca and Ravenwood double pack, and 2 additional cars in the Deluxe Edition exclusive Volts pack, which brings the car total up to 124 total.
Yeah.
Codemasters/EA, however they're referring to themselves now, have said that there will be 4 post-launch DLC packs, which will contain new cars and tracks as well as new events and challenges, and that these packs will be included in the price of the Deluxe Edition, but they should be available separately for Standard Edition buyers should they choose to purchase them.
Right.
But for the most part, I think I have been too spoiled by the 700-odd or 400-odd Forzas and Gran Turismos that there's not a lot of things that are catching my attention on this list.
Well, I mean, it's not so much that it's not catching my attention, it's just it's a very aged list.
Yeah. And well, as you have a sprinkling of newer vehicles like the Aston Martin Vulcan, AMR Pro.
And it's just that it's a sprinkling of fairly new vehicles. There's nothing spank new or anything to really get your mouth watering. Like, yeah, I've really been wanting to drive that. I've been wanting to drive that. Mm-hmm. Not that there's anything wrong with having the tried and trusted aged car list, but whenever you have a spank new game and there's hardly anything spank new on it,
mm-hmm.
that makes it kind of,
mm-hmm. There's also
there's not even any fantasy cars in there, really. Nothing like, kind of like what Gran Turismo did, where they wanted GT content, so they made a GT3 spec Volkswagen Beetle.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. They do have fantasy cars in the way of they've created new brands for type of cars that they couldn't get the license for.
Right.
Just the Jupiter F1000, which is the, I believe...
90 stock car, isn't it?
No, that's... Oh, wait. Did I see Jupiter Jedi?
You said Jupiter.
Okay. Jupiter is the stock car-ish brand. Jedi is the open wheel-ish brand.
Right. Which I'm surprised there wasn't some sort of lawsuit with that one alone.
That's a good point, actually. Yeah. Well, I think it's because it's all capitalized that it's not that, like, Disney and Lucasfilm can't claim copyright, but I don't know.
It's all the way that you use your capitalization and punctuation, I guess.
Yes.
But still.
And speaking personally as a Mopar guy, you've got two cars on this list.
Yeah, that's... It's not a heavy list for Mopar, but it's not really a heavy list for GM guys either.
No. One of them is an SRT Viper, which that brand has even been around since, like, I want to say 2012, something like that. And the other is the Challenger Demon, which, unless it's a drag racing game, it has really no purpose. It's... That car is literally built to be a drag race monster and nothing else.
Right.
So, it showing up in a track racing game, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's just... It's all very lackluster, the whole list is, really. I mean, besides mm-hmm. the Panos and the Porsche GT1, that's... I don't really have much interest in the rest of it.
Yeah. The circuits... I mean, they're okay.
Well, I mean, you're trying to say 137 circuits, but spread across 22 locations. So, in other words, you have 22 racetracks with 137 different variants.
Mm-hmm. And almost about, I'm going to say about half, or, maybe not half. There's a significant amount of these that aren't actual.
No, they're tracks. All street circuits.
Yeah.
Which I think there's only. Maybe five or six real world tracks, and the rest of them are either fantasy tracks or the street circuits.
Yeah. Okay. Let's count this. You got Barcelona, which is Catalonia, Brands Hatch, Indy, Bathurst, Okinawa.
Okinawa, yeah. Okay, five.
Red Bull Ring.
Six.
Xipeng.
Okay.
Xipeng, I think that's how you pronounce it. Suzuka.
Okay, we're at eight.
Sydney Motorsports Park.
It's nine. That's a lot more than I thought, actually. Shows you how quick I browsed through that
list. That's
so
it.
Nine of them.
So over half. Way over half.
That's not a good look, man.
Unless Strada Alpina is one that I don't know about. Which is a possibility.
I haven't heard of it.
Or is it Zhejiang? Hold on. What's this one? Oh, no. Ten? Yeah. There's a... The last one that's on the list, Zhejiang, I believe is how you pronounce it, is... It's a track China.
I was going to say, they had a strange Asian fusion over there.
It's... Only 6 years old.
Okay, that explains why I haven't heard about it then.
Yeah. It was in the last Crypt game. Okay, that would be why they have it then. Okay.
Yokohama Docks, or Nissan Docks, I guess you could say, because that's where Nissans are made, is Yokohama. Mm-hmm. Or not made, that's their headquarters anyway, but...
Yeah. Or it's the tires manufacturer.
I think the tire manufacturer is also located there.
Yeah.
Hence the term anyway, Yokohama.
I know we're a bit down on Grid Legends, but if you enjoy arcade racers, like really enjoy arcade racers, this is probably worth getting. Especially with this whole Drive to Survive style career mode that they're going to be doing. And you can pick that up later. No, tomorrow, if you're listening live.
Tomorrow, if you're listening live. So if you're listening later than tomorrow, which is Friday, then it's already open. Go get it.
Yeah.
You have fun. Enjoy.
Yeah. Though, if I remember the price correctly, I think it might be a little overpriced for what it is, but
Is it one of those silly games that decides to charge out the yin-yang for it?
Well, it's EA, so that's a red flag right there.
That's a given. Never mind. Moving on.
Yeah, so anyway, right along. Moving right along.
Well, you referenced a drag racing game.
I did reference a drag racing game. We can change our run of show order a little bit here. So I think I have said on this show that drag racing is one of the most underrepresented form motorsports that's in video games right now.
Forever.
Just because drag racing is kind of hard to do, just because it's so like dependent on physics and grip coefficients and special parts like trans brakes I completely lost the term that I was going to use.
I don't know what term you were going for. So I'm no help.
Hold on, it's gonna bug me. I'll describe it and maybe it'll come to my head. You can essentially lock the front brakes and do a burnout to warm your rear tires.
I was going to say trans brakes, but that doesn't sound...
Trans brake is something to do with the torque converter, where it holds it at a certain RPM so that you get a better line lock. It was going to come to me eventually.
Once you said anyway, then it dawned on me. It's like, oh, now I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. We are professionals, I swear.
With everything besides drag racing.
So, yeah. drag racing is something that I really enjoy just because of my most car guy roots. And I think it's like endlessly fascinating how much you can change and only gain like 0.4 of a second. Yeah. That kind of thing.
Well, in a quarter mile, 0.4 of a second, that's a lot.
That is a lot, but I even started to mention like the different, like when you start adding nitrous into the mix, how much it changes everything. But anyway, the NHRA, which is the National Hot Rod Association, which is pretty much the major drag racing
sanctioning body.
Thank you.
See, that one I knew you were going for.
Yeah, it's the biggest drag racing sanctioning body in the States.
If not the world, I think, actually. Because I know early 2000s, late 90s, there was a major international appeal, and they had a gentleman from Japan that used to race the Moon Eyes funny car. Actually, I think he did win an event, too, while he was over here. And, of course, we get the occasional Australians that come over as well. So, yeah. I mean,
it's like it's the one form of motorsport that Dodge is still invested and interested into. So the NHRA announced earlier this week, I believe it was, or might have been late last week, that there is a drag racing title coming later this year from a developer that I've never heard of called Game Mill Entertainment.
Yeah, and then you'll understand why you've never heard of it once you hear what they're responsible for.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently they're most known for the American Ninja Warrior game, the game adaptation to Disney's Frozen, and Outlaw Racing. Not exactly
a huge portfolio.
It is not a confidence boosting list whenever you're talking about something that relies a lot on physics and things like that. In the press release, though, they did state that the game will feature a physics-based gameplay to simulate real-world depth and speed. Apparently, this is going to be available on the PS4, the PS5, the Xbox Series X/S, the Xbox One, the Nintendo Switch, and Steam. It would also apparently feature a single-player and multiplayer modes that offer Top Fuel, Funny Car, Pro Stock, Pro Mod, and Super Street car classes, and include real-world NHRA drivers and sponsors.
Which makes it sound very impressive.
It does make it sound very impressive, but...
Well, I'll refrain my judgment, actually, because I've never played any of the other games, simply because it's definitely not the market I would go after for my gaming entertainment. And I'm guessing if they're pretty famous for it and they've been asked for those things, I would imagine they did those other titles quite well, simply going off of opinion or speculation, I should say, not so much opinion. So, and then if NHRA decided to tag themselves along with that one, then I would say they're probably going to be pretty well represented.
Yeah.
At least to the traditional gaming standard that we know nowadays.
Yeah.
So to me personally, that, with this, if they came out and had a game that is just like Grid, only the drag racing equivalent, to me, I think that would be a huge success for them, actually.
I can see this going two different ways. This is either going to be an attempt at having everything that they do, and it's going to be like Grid Autosport's version of it, or Forza Motorsport's version of it, where you don't have the option of having trans brakes or line locks or any of the other things that these cars would have. You just have a throttle and a clutch and that's it. Or it's going to be a button press simulator.
Right.
That's kind of my concern.
Well, what I'm kind of hoping for is that it'll be closer along the lines of the PC versions of the Funny Car or NHRA games that happened about 20 years ago, which those were quite good. And that was a full-blown simulator that you could really get behind. Had everything that you just mentioned with the line lock, the clutch, the trans brake, all that stuff. Had everything with that, and it was you could tune your car, basically make it to where it doesn't blow up as you go down a quarter mile. I mean, it was pretty interactive and pretty insightful, too.
Yeah, I am much like I kind of, I don't remember which was the last game I said this about. I'm very cautiously optimistic that, yay, the NHRA are making a game, but in the same vein, I'm concerned about how realistically it's going to represent the sport.
As long as it's not like the terrible IHRA games that were on the consoles years ago, then I think they're going to be okay.
Yeah.
Which actually, there was an NHRA game for consoles as well that was pretty in-depth. Just the graphics were very PlayStation 1-ish whenever we were at PlayStation 3s.
Yeah. Another interesting thing about this game is that the NHRA and GameMo are currently looking for community feedback on what to call the title. If you check out their social media pages, you can probably find where you can make your voice heard on that. The two that I came up with when I originally read the story were NHRA Expect Disappointment and NHRA Button Mashing Simulator. So that kind of tells you where my head was at whenever I initially read the story.
Granted, drag racing isn't exactly what I enjoy watching, but whenever I'm dying for motorsport and there's nothing on and I flip it through channels and I see it's on, it's kind of like curling in the Olympics, you know? You just get sucked into it and it's just like, man, that's awesome. 300 miles an hour and 1,000 feet? Holy crap. So.
I also want to point out that this story was originally... we originally found this on Race Department, and one of the first comments was Draggy McDragface as to the name of the... Because the internet's hilarious. Anyway.
The official NHRA racing game. NHRA Draggy McDragface.
Draggy McDragface,
yeah. That'd be hilarious if that makes it...
I will be paying attention to this just because I'm interested to see what happens. And we'll probably find out more as it is supposed to come out later this year.
You're cautiously optimistic. I'm actually cautiously excited because I do remember playing those old games and I found myself thoroughly entertained. So, and if it is a simulator like what those ones were, then you're going to have a whole lot of fun and a whole lot of input on trying to make that thing go straight. So. And hopefully they make the game moddable, too. That way you can get a bunch of people going out there making, like, their Hellcats or what have you. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, well, that was a... All the, like, the classes that I read off are very set classes.
Yeah.
So, I think if you want that kind of thing, you need to lean towards a Forza level. Even though, despite...
Well, moddable like, as in, like, the, being able to create content or content third-party and being able to add it in.
Yeah, maybe the Steam version would be able to do that, but I doubt the console versions would. But anyway, you want to talk about iRacing?
Yeah, let's go ahead and talk about iRacing.
So...
I was going to say, did you mean me in particular or that as a group?
No, I can do one. So we've talked about previously on the show, it was a couple of months ago now, if I remember correctly, that iRacing via some guy named Dale Earnhardt Jr., never heard of him, previously announced that the 1987 Buick with Sabre would be coming to the sim. Well, via some... Again, some guy I never heard of. Dale
Is he related Jr. to Dale Earnhardt Sr., I wonder?
I don't know. He might be related to Ralph Earnhardt, but...
Yeah, two other guys I've never heard of before either. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway,
I know if Richard Petty.
I could even make it through that without laughing. Anyway, so Dale recently tweeted... just last week that the car is going to be coming out in the March build, which should be we should be getting it probably before the next show because we're reaching the end of
their season. I was going to say, it depends on when that season ends. Which...
We're getting to the near the end of it. I think week 14 is next
week. Week 14, wow.
So we might be getting it before our next show. Oh, okay. Show. Maybe.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, that's one of the more gorgeous cars of that era, too. So
it's not bad. I mean, everything for that era is kind of boxy.
It is, but it...
Because it's GM.
Yeah, I was going to say, that to me was where NASCAR really started hitting its stride, and then for some reason they decided to get away from that sort of thing.
Yeah. But... Anyway, we can talk NASCAR politics later. Anyway, the main reason that Dale went to Twitter was that he wanted to ask the iRacing community to vote on what the base paint for the car would be. Now, this is where things get interesting. The other two 87 cars that are in the game, the Monte Carlo and the Thunderbird, both have skins or the default paint that's on the car, excuse me, are famous racing paints. One being, you know, Dale's father, and I can't remember which Thunderbird it is.
Awesome Bill from Dawsonville, Bill Elliott, wasn't it?
I think it was Bill Elliott. I'll look it up. Anyway, we know for a fact that it was Bobby Allison's Buick that was scanned.
Then it should be Bobby Allison's car. The Miller, yes. Well, you know what? It's because it's the Miller branding. They probably won't do it.
Exactly. Dale actually kind of, whenever he was asked by one of the commenters on the thread, he explained that getting the rights to the design, number, name, everything was problematic, and it would delay the release of the vehicle. Besides,
well,
we have trading paints, it's going to show up eventually. And we definitely know that Dale is very heavily into trading paints, because whenever they announced the car, he actually tweeted about how the Buick could be very easily turned into the olds of the same year via trading paints. So,
another one it could end up being is Morgan Shepherd's Quaker State car. Yeah. Of that same era.
I forgot about that.
Which,
but
no Miller logo on that, and I don't know if Quaker State's in game or not, but
I don't remember. Well,
and actually, to be honest with you, if they're pushing to get it to come out, I wouldn't be too surprised if you don't see a livery on it at all. At least not a famous livery. It'll probably end up being a fantasy livery that looks very similar.
Well, they have the iRacing livery.
Yeah, then you got that one.
Yeah. Did you happen to look at see the image of the options available?
I haven't yet, actually. Did we have a link for that?
It should be in that link.
Here we go. Yeah, the iRacing livery is probably definitely going to be the one that you get right there. That's probably going to be
It's very generic, but it also, all four of them, because there are four different options, two with
They're two of the same base design, just flip-flop the colors.
They're color flip.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked both of them, but I preferred
Along the same lines as that, too, because it kind of has that same, or that vibe for that era, I would definitely say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, apparently everyone else agreed with us, because B is what won the vote with 29.3% or something like that.
There we go.
Yep.
Explain no more.
Yeah. So, we're going to get this, as I said, we're going to get this car fairly soon. Be interesting to see how it stacks up against its other 87 era brothers.
Well, if people drive it like how Bobby Allison did, then it's going to be doing pretty good, so.
Yes. Anyway, moving right along. Do you want to talk about GC7?
I do. I'm very much so looking forward to that, actually.
I am too.
Yeah, so they had a cool promotional stunt over there in Singapore, which I thought this was kind of cool. Apparently in Singapore there are two individual car vending machines. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know what a car vending machine is, it sounds exactly like that.
It's exactly as it
and
sounds.
It's 15 stories tall, or should I say 15 car slots tall. So, and it offers anything for every model of what that particular dealership is doing it. Now, why is the dealership doing a car vending machine? It's simply because there's so little space in Singapore that you have to do it this way. So,
It reminds me of a Hot Wheels carrier that I had in
that. It does too. Now that you say that, that's exactly what it looks like with it being all lit up in blue. So, but anyway, back to what we're talking about here. So, with the imminent release of Gran Turismo, funny enough, this one is just a couple blocks away from the Singapore Grand Prix circuit. This particular car vending machine has been taken over briefly by the developers of Gran Turismo, and they have lifelike cars of cars that you would see in the game, or actual cars of cars that you will find inside of the game, which is a pretty cool promo thing to do down in Singapore. And dare I say, that's actually probably a great spot to do that. It's as good as any for any car launch, especially with today's day and age with COVID going on and stuff. So I think that's actually a pretty cool, excellent way to launch things. So
yeah, and it's a very wide variety.
Yeah, they got
it. I'm seeing a couple Porsches. I'm seeing a Ferrari Testarossa. I'm seeing a couple Lamborghinis.
Yeah, and up towards the top, there's something that's got a Gran Turismo logo on the side. I just can't quite make that out.
I think it might be the Porsche Carrera.
Could be. Yeah, it's kind of got that shape to it.
Yeah.
But right down on the bottom, you got the McLaren MP4 12C that's there, which I wouldn't expect anything otherwise. But hard to make out what that car is right above it, actually, and the black one right above it. But
the black one's definitely a Lamborghini.
Is that a Lambo?
Huracan of some sort. Yeah, it's got that Lamborghini shape to it.
It does to an extent, but this canopy is kind of looking off. It's unfortunately, there's not a lot of close-up images of this thing. I mean, you can see a Ferrari GTB up there, up towards the top. What appears to be an Aston Martin, maybe a Corvette, right above that.
I think that might be the C7.
It could be, but that little indentation on the side makes me think it's an Aston Martin.
Yeah, that little indentation throwing me
looks
off.
Looks like a Valkyrie or some sort. So, again, it's not... They're not quality photos that we're being able to see on this one, but I mean, it's an absolutely brilliant idea.
Yeah, I had to find this one on Reddit.
You had to find which one on Reddit? Did you get a different one?
Yeah, I had to find this.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, I think that's a really cool concept, and it's very different. And I mean, what Gran Turismo was known for is being able to bring the car culture and racing world to everybody around the world. So why not continue that same theme and being able to do it anywhere in the world? So,
yep.
Quite good, I think. That's a good advertisement thing there.
Yeah.
So, and I can't wait to get a hold of it. A little over a week, Lewis. A little over a week.
Yeah, I pre-ordered it.
I haven't had a chance to pre-order it because, what was it, yesterday it dawned on me that, because for some reason I was thinking, reason I was thinking 14th. I don't know why. I mean, I keep hearing 4th, and then I kept going back to it. I was like, all right, 14th, whatever, you know. And all of a sudden, I was talking about it to a couple friends of mine the other day, and I was like, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. It's coming out next month. And then I go Google the date for it, and it was like, March 4th. I was like, March 4th? What? Oh, that's like less than 2 weeks away. Heck yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
considering that this game has gone through development heck, because it was supposed to come out early 2021, then it became late 2021, then it became early 2022, then it became late 2022, and now I'm glad it came back.
Well, I was gonna say it was starting to remind me of release
time frames.
What was that you said? I was saying it was starting to remind me of Gran Turismo 4 because they kept pushing the date back, It's like, oh my god, we're never going to get it.
Yep. And as I said a couple, I can't remember if I said this last week or the week before. Forza, are you paying attention?
Yeah, they need to be.
Yeah. Your main competitor is doing something really cool.
Yeah, they're advertising.
Yeah, they're launching their game.
And they're advertising. So, anyways.
Yeah. Anyway, yes. There's still time to pre-order if you so choose.
Yeah, I haven't read up too much about it. Granted, I should have been listening in to a couple of the other shows, but apparently I just missed those. But if I'm not mistaken, there are some pre-order bonuses with it, too.
Yes, and at the moment, I don't remember which ones I got. Just because I have a PlayStation 4 Slim.
Oh, nice.
So, and yes, dear listener, I did finally figure out which one it was, because I couldn't remember last week. I had the PS4 Slim, which it does give me a little bit better quality, but it's still a PS4, so I'm going to be...
Yeah, I'm going to be right there with you, because...
playing a different version of the game than Matt's going to be playing with his PlayStation 5.
Yeah, and once again, over here in the States, cannot find a PS5 to save our lives.
Nope, I can't find either.
Can't get that. I can't get the Ferrari SF1000 wheel.
Yep. There's something else that we're going to talk about getting to the show that we can't even get over here, but...
Yeah, so wherever you are in the world, if you're able to readily get those sort of things, be very fortunate, because it's getting old over here.
It's getting very old over here. Anyway, we could go off on a tangent talking about that.
I was going to say, we could sulk for the next rest of the show, but let's not.
Very easily, yeah. We only got about 15 minutes left in tonight's show anyway, so.
Okay, well.
Let's continue. Yes, let's talk about ACC. ACC is obviously a favorite game among us here. You and I have talked about it at length, definitely. Yeah. Speculating.
That's a good word.
It's the word I wanted to use, but I couldn't think of it. When we were speculating about what the next car and track DLC was going to look like, we have a little bit more information now. Marco Mazzurro, and I'm pretty sure I'm pronouncing that correctly. I'm trying to do better, dear listener, who is the co-founder and executive director of Kunos, sat down with GT Planet, and we got a whole heap amount of information. Well, we got some information. It was like a 45-minute interview, so we got some information, but...
I was going to say it was more revolved around the sequel, more than it was with what's coming soon.
Well, came out on Tuesday. Yeah. For those who don't remember, console versions of Assetto Corsa for the PS5 and the Xbox Series S and X are now available if you so choose. If you had purchased it previously on the PS4 or the Xbox One, you get a free upgrade. Yay you. That would include me.
Yay you.
Yeah. I mean, Matt and I talked about a lot of kind of the nuts and bolts of what ACC on consoles looks like. Mazzurro talked a lot about in the interview how a lot of the console updates they were able to bring was because of further development of the PC they've been doing over the last couple years. He also talked about PlayStation 5 listeners, if you're still tuning in. The PS5 version is not going to support the next version of PlayStation VR yet, but they don't have specific plans to do that at the moment.
Wait, listener, come back. There's other stuff that you have to listen.
Yes. The question was asked about having data out from consoles for things like sim hubs, or you can see data about your laps and things
Now I know what you're talking about with data out systems. Okay.
Yeah, or like crew chief that can tell you car inside.
Yeah, so exporting. Effectively. Yeah. Okay.
Basically, it's more complicated to do that on the console versus a PC.
Oh, absolutely.
So we're probably not going to see that for a while.
Absolutely would be.
Yeah. But here's the exciting part. Mazzurro talked about new content that is expected later this year. Obviously, though, he did preface what he said with, you can't talk about it too much yet, because there's still ongoing license agreement conversations that they're still going through. So, what he did tell us was that there's at least two car packs coming, at least two DLCs coming later this year. One will be a car pack, which is in late-ish spring. Could be early spring. He wasn't exactly clear on that. Where he did confirm that we're going to get the Ferrari Challenge Evo, the new Porsche 911 Cup, the BMW M2. And this is one that I hadn't heard about, the Audi GT3 Evo.
So the latest Audi Evo.
So the so latest
the
Audi
GT3. Audi Evo 2. Wow. Yes. And that has not been released on any other game yet either.
One. Yeah.
That's exciting.
The other DLC was a track back, which is going to be in the summer, that Mazzurro said would make people very happy, but was very quick to say that it would not include the Norse Life. Sorry, Jordan. I know how much you like that track. He did say that expands track choices around the world and specifically mentioned Asia and U.S. gamers having something to look forward to.
So this makes me believe that it's going to be...
It might be a combo
I was going to say, I think it's going to be a larger... Or not really a larger one. It's actually probably going to be about the same size. Because in reality, the American season or championships and the Asian championships combined are roughly about the same size as a single European championship. So, yeah. And it's not so much that...
Compared to tracks that we already have.
And it's not so much it's because that it's an unpopular form of racing. It's quite the contrary on both of those. Mm-hmm. It's just that they have a very huge rival championship that's going on there with, that uses those types of cars. For instance, you got Super GT, which uses GT3 cars in their GT300 category. So what do I want to do? Race in a national championship that gets some global recognition, or do I want to go race in the biggest national championship that there is that definitely gets global recognition? And it's the same thing over here in the States, where do I want to go race for a national GT championship that doesn't get very much TV coverage, or do I want to go race an IMSA to where I'm going to be presented grant on a global scale and a national championship? Which one are you going to do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That being said, both of those examples of the national championships really don't have a game that represents them.
No, they don't.
I mean, there's a whole thing with Gran Turismo and Super GT where they usually get super... Like the GT 500 cars, they get them first before anyone else.
I think they have the exclusive rights to them.
They probably do have the exclusive rights to them.
Which is why we haven't seen Super GT show up in Forza or any other major form of racing outside of Mons.
I mean, Forza 7 did have the previous generation GTR, Nissan GTR GT 500.
But just a single one.
Except just a single one. So it's like, okay, what do I race this against? Because it's much faster in the corners than anything, any other GT cars. And because it's Forza, they put it in the same class, but I'm not going to get on that hot horse again. Not doing that again.
No soapbox tonight.
Anyway, getting back to AC. There was also further clarification from Masumoto about why the current gen console release date switched somewhere in there, which I think confused us at one point. Essentially, what it boiled down to was that there was a mistake internally, and they were just kind of like, why not? It's only 2 days earlier, so not a big deal. They even, in this interview, talked about Star Wars Corsa 2. Masumoto said that the game's still very early in the development process, and that what they're looking at right now is that they're going to be developing their own game engine for AC2, and which is kind of a departure since ACC runs on Unreal Engine. But Masumoto described Kunos as pretty much a technical provider that also makes games.
Yeah.
So you can kind of see where their priorities lie. And that we're definitely going to be seeing differences between AC and AC2 because of how much bigger the development team is. Where AC2, according to Masumoto, was basically coded by one guy, they have 15 coders now.
Well, that'll make things a lot more faster then.
Yeah. And Masumoto also specifically called out the modding community because it changes the ways that they are thinking about how they're going to develop the game to make it last, like things that they can add to the game to make it last even longer than AC has, which is pretty a large task.
That's pretty spectacular.
Yeah, and that they're going to be doing a much bigger AC, a bigger career mode than what you see typically. Where traditional car racing mode is where you have a definitive start and an end, but because they want to make this game like it induce longevity into the game, there's a word for you, longevity, that I was trying to say earlier.
Ben
because
got one.
Trying to Yeah, because they're have longevity in mind when they're developing the game. They're changing the way that the career mode's going to work, and kind of the way he described it made it sound to me like how you've talked about making your own career modes in RF2.
My own personal career modes? I was going to say, because there's definitely not a career mode in R Factor 2. You kind of have to create these things on your own.
That's what I'm talking about, where it kind of sounded like it's going to be that kind of create your own thing. So that you can create the career mode that you want to do.
Which is okay, but I would have to say the way that I have to do it in R Factor right now, it's very complicated, and you definitely have to research how to do it if it's something that, you know, you don't have no knowledge of whatsoever. So if they can make it a little bit more ease of access for somebody, you know, like have it pre-programmed, like these are the type of cars I want to use and et cetera, et cetera. And these are the tracks I want to use. Yeah. And then they let you go ahead and do it. Then that would be a lot easier. Even if it is something that you're only limited to maybe a 20 car grid, that's still better than trying to figure it out and trying to program it and potentially break your game and have to start all over again and buy a fresh install. Yeah. So,
yeah.
I broke R Factor quite a few times trying to figure it out. I'll say that. But I just had to stick with it.
Yeah, I think because of the way that they've described how it's going to be like developed into the game, it's not going to be that hard to do.
Well, that makes sense. That'll definitely be a plus for them.
Yeah. But anyway, we do have one more piece of sim racing news that I want to get to before we do the esports roundup of the week. So I'm going to do this fairly quickly. Lewis, you've heard of the British automaker Brabham before, correct? Yes. Brabham has announced that they will be working with Base Performance Simulators, which is a UK-based sim company that provides pretty hardcore simulators, and I'm not talking like GT Omega or Wheel Stand or Next Level Racing. I'm talking like manufacturer grade, like you basically sit in the cockpit of the car that you want to simulate, right? Style simulators. They will be working, Brabham will be working with Base Performance Simulators to develop racing theme simulators that will be celebrating three different eras in the history of the Brabham name in Formula One.
Interesting.
Yeah. I should also point out that Base Performance Simulators only really make one quote-unquote consumer-grade product that the Brabham sims are going to be raced on.
Okay.
Yeah. Before we get into break down the three different types, here's kind of the tech specs that you can expect. Unlike other stands, like the BMW one or the Lamborghini one, or I'm trying to remember.
St. Martin had one too.
It was the where it was just the stand. This is kind of an all-in-one package. So you get the Base Performance powder coat steel frame, the carbon fiber pedal box. That has electric adjustment. You get a Semi-Cube 2 DD wheel. You get a Precision Sim GPX steering wheel. You get a carbon fiber seat. You get a Samsung 49-inch curved gaming monitor. You get a gaming PC. You get a Cambridge audio speaker system.
Very nice.
And a Stenhauser 7.1 surround sound headset.
Okay.
You get a 12-month warranty.
Only a 12-month warranty.
Yes. Which, I mean, 12-month warranty is pretty good for something like this.
Eh.
Yeah, well, you're going to go, eh, again when you hear
that's
the price.
What I'm saying, because I already saw the price tag, and that's just,
yeah.
Eh.
Yeah, and installation and delivery are only available in the UK.
Okay.
So I don't know if that means that we can't buy it. I assume it does. Just because, like, this isn't going to be a light product.
No, it's not.
Yeah. So the
hey Tom, what did you order? Got a tank.
Probably cost the same. the three different Brabrum sims that you're going to get is the BT-19, which is the gold and green, like, original 60s era livery that Brabrum run when Brabrum became the first and only driver so far to win the world championship in a car of his own construction. You get the BT-46B, aka the fan car, which is the car that to combat Lotus's ground effects downforce, they literally put a fan in the back of the car to suck it to the racetrack. The sim based on it reflects its red, white, and blue scheme. And the BT-52, which is the blue and white livery of the car that was designed for the 1983 F1 season that took Nelson Piquet to his second world championship title. Would you like, Lewis, to tell the listeners how much this costs?
In euros, or actually I think that's pounds, actually. So that's pounds. It's even more expensive then. Mm-hmm. $24,990. And he had to pay an additional $2,000 or $2,250 for the paint job.
Basically, what the sims are is the, as for mentioned, base performance consumer grade product, but that alone is like $22,150 or something like that. So you're paying a lot of premium for that.
I was going to say, you could buy a sim racer or you could buy an actual car. Your choice.
Yeah. As is usually the choice that you get to whenever we're talking about these branded sims.
Well, I mean, and now, listener, that you've heard the price and then you hear 12-month warranty, if I'm paying that much money for something, it better be longer than a 12-month warranty.
Hey, at least it has a warranty.
Don't get me wrong, that is a plus, but if I'm spending that much money on something, I want a bigger warranty. So. Because you know what's going to happen. Somebody's going to go ahead and buy that thing, and they're going to be telling all their buddies about it. All their buddies are going to come over, abuse the crap out of it. Somebody's going to break a knob or something. You know, and that can go on for quite some time.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway, it's time, dear listener, as we have like 5 minutes left in tonight's show, for the esports. Yeah, for the esports roundup of the week, brought to you by the Gaming
Esports Athlete. Roundup of the week, brought to you by the Gaming Athlete.
Yes, head on over to thegamingathlete.com to learn about how you can reach athlete status in gaming by maximizing your performance and restoring your well-being.
You said, "Well, destroy your worldview."
once again, that's thegamingathlete.com. Just for that, Lewis, you can read.
I gotta stop laughing first. just the way I heard that. All right, so we have round two of the Porsche Tag Heuer Esports Super Cup at Catalunya. So Circuit de Barcelona, probably the worst track on the calendar, let's be honest. Diogo Pinto, there's no E in that name. Diogo Pinto would take pole position for the 9-lap sprint race. At first, it looked like Diogo would be set to lose his race lead. In fact, he did so very briefly on lap two when Dane Warren moved past. However, Diogo would aggressively find his way back to the lead, and moments later, Warren would be tipped into a spin by Charlie Collins. Then, a couple corners later, Charlie would be wiped out of control of the number 70 car of Vecchio. The bad luck for Collins and Warren would see Pinto break away from the pack for a few laps. Alejandro Sanchez would close in during the final few laps, but ultimately Pinto would cross the line to win the sprint race, with 0.2 seconds between Pinto and Sanchez. Jeremy Boutenloop would climb his way, that's a fun last name to say, would climb his way from 10th on the grid to the final spot on the podium, which is good on him. The partial grid reverse for the 18-lap feature race would see Kevin Ellis Jr. promoted to the pole position. Ellis would hold the lead on the charge to turn one. Further back for the second race in a row, we would see a driver become a wrecking ball at the hairpin. This time it would be Charlie Collins. That would be rear-ended in the braking zone, sent spinning wildly into the pack at the apex, collecting around 7 or 8 cars, including Sebastian Job and Graham Carroll and more. Mercifully, the carnage virtually ended after lap one. Sadly, Catalunya proved that it would offer processional races in many categories, not just Formula One. Big shocker. I think we warned you at the beginning of this post here.
We're following the leader.
Exactly.
Leader, we're following the leader.
It says a lot when the only excitement in these races come after incidents on a corner that doesn't exist anymore. Kevin Ellis Jr. would control the race from the front and would cross the line to take victory with an advantage of 7/10 over second driver Jamie Fluke, and that was not a fluke for him, who also maintained position by starting second and finishing second. Zach Campbell would take the final spot on the podium, and after two rounds, Diogo Pinto leads the championship standings by 4 points ahead of Jeremy Buitenloop. Hockenheim feature race winner Ian Gwoven sits third in the standings, 13 points back. Dane Warren's misfortune in Spain have seen him tumble down the order to 11th and is standing 59 points adrift. That's a heck of a steady climb there that he has for the rest of the year. The 2022 Porsche Tag Heuer Esports Super Cup will continue with round three at the much better Autodromo Jose Carlos Pache in Sao Paulo, Brazil on Saturday, March 5th. Also known as Interlagos.
Yes. Did you really have to include the fluke pun?
I did. You would have been disappointed in me if I didn't.
I'm disappointed in you that you did.
But you would have been more disappointed if I didn't.
Anyway,
don't kid yourself, Ben.
It's that time of the show again where we have come to an end.
A few people are tired of hearing me talk.
Thank you all. Yeah.
Yourself included.
Thank you all for listening. I said nothing. Thank you all for listening to tonight's show. Matt and Jordan will be back next week. Jordan make his triumphant return with new, very quick internet.
Yes, new internet and new living surroundings.
Congratulations
to Jordan. So having gone through that myself last year, I know exactly what he's going through. So,
yeah.
Big change, but it'll get better.
So from myself and Lewis, good night, dear listener. Remember, stay safe out there.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, subscribe to the Simcast wherever you get your podcasts.